Our quantum physicists go even further. They tell us that there's really just a quantum field of pure energy that has both wave and particle characteristics. The subatomic particles emanating from this energy field, quarks, leptons, and bosons, are what make up our entire universe. Though you couldn't care less about these particles, the structures they create come in through your senses, hit your stored blockages, and it gets uncomfortable in there. You are doing this. The subatomic particles can't be doing this. To free yourself, the moment you notice disturbance, let go. Don't wait until that initial disturbance takes over your mind. You are perfectly aware that you're beginning to get upset before you actually get upset. You feel it. You feel when something starts to bother you. If you want to grow spiritually, that is the moment when you do your work. This is the essence of spiritual growth. If you work on yourself, you're going to create a beautiful place inside to live. This is more important than your marriage or your family. It's more important than your job or your career. You're working on yourself directly instead of indirectly. If you create a beautiful inner environment, you can have a wonderful marriage, a wonderful family life, and a wonderful job. But if you have a mess inside, you'll just be trying to use these outer situations to make yourself okay. This can work for short periods of time, but you don't want to build your house on sand. The alternative is when the stuff starts to come up, the second you feel that change, relax. Don't even wait until you know what it's about. Just relax and let go. You can work with some scars at the energetic level rather than the mental level. This is much deeper. There are blockages in there, but they don't want to be in there. They want to come up and be released. Surrender is the act of letting go instead of resisting by pushing the blockages away. You will see it's not always comfortable when these disturbances from your past come up. The events weren't comfortable when they happened. That's why you push them away. Now that they're trying to release, are you going to push them back down for another 10 years? If you're not serious about working on yourself, that is what's going to happen. Eventually, you will take it seriously that the purpose of your life is letting go of these stored patterns. Your blocked past is keeping you from God, and it's keeping you from having a beautiful life. The same sincere effort you put into a relationship or into earning money, you learn to put into freeing yourself of these blockages. Remember this, it is not about renunciation. It's about purification. It's about cleansing out the inside so you can have a beautiful life, both outside and in. At some point in your growth, you will recognize that freeing yourself is worth the discomfort of letting go of past disturbances. Look what athletes go through for the Olympics. For years, they put themselves through hell to win a gold medal. They feel proud for a while. Then what? It becomes a wall ornament. We're talking about putting in a fraction of that effort to win everything, and the fruits of your effort will keep giving over time. Imagine not having those sensitive blockages in there. Imagine being able to enjoy the world as it unfolds around you. You can begin to appreciate life and wholeheartedly participate in it. What's that worth? This is what happens when you're willing to let go of your past. This is a very important spiritual practice. You should be able to look back on your past and say, thank you. It doesn't matter what happened. Remember, every moment there are trillions and trillions of things going on in the universe, but you only got to experience one. How can you not appreciate the one you got to see? You came down to earth, and this was the experience you had. That's what your life is, the sequence of experiences you got to experience. Learn to love and appreciate your past. Fully embrace it. Thank it for teaching you. And let go of any judgment that there was something wrong with it. Your past is uniquely yours. It happened. It's sacred. It's beautiful. Nobody else ever had it. And nobody else ever will. Embrace your past. Hug it. Kiss it. Love it to death. Chapter 33. Meditation. Many practices can help you on your spiritual journey. As you do them, always remember that your intent is to cease storing blockages. If weekend retreats help you with the process of letting go, then do them. If a form of therapy helps you to open up and release, then do it. A time-honored technique for spiritual growth is meditation. In order to meditate, you have to let go of your traditional relationship with your mind and emotions. There are many forms of meditation, but the bottom line of all of them is letting go of your addiction to focusing on your thoughts. Focus on your breath, count, do mantra, feel the energy. In other words, focus on anything except the thoughts arising in your mind. As you practice meditation, you will find that your ability to let go during daily life is greatly enhanced. Relaxing and releasing on the meditation cushion is the same process as relaxing and releasing during daily activity. Eventually, you will find that you remain clearer throughout the day. You are always aware of what is going on both inside and outside. This clarity of presence is one of the gifts of meditation. There are many meditation techniques. If you don't have a technique, you can try this simple practice. Commit to sitting down for a short period twice a day, preferably at the same time each day. This requires the discipline to give this inner work priority over everything else. Most people manage to eat and sleep at certain times each day. They also manage to find time for their jobs and their relationships. This inner work on yourself is more important than everything else you do. In the end, it will affect the quality of your life more than all the other things you do each day. Many of today's teachers say that to sit in meditation for 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening is a good starting point. That alone will create great benefits. Just put aside the time to sit down in a quiet place. What do you do during that time? What you don't want to do is expect to have a spiritual experience. If you expect that, you're going to get disappointed and you'll stop meditating. You're sitting down for the same reason you sit down to play your scales on a piano, to learn. If you sit down to practice the piano and expect to be playing Beethoven when you get up, you're going to quit the piano. The same thing is true of meditation. The reason you sit down to meditate is to learn how to remain conscious inside while your mind creates thoughts and your heart creates emotions. Whatever is going on in there is fine, as long as you can objectively observe it. This is called mindful meditation. Suppose someone says, I can't meditate. I sit down and my mind doesn't shut up. It just keeps talking and talking. That's actually a pretty good state. You know you are not your mind. You actually watched your mind talk for 15 minutes and noticed that it didn't shut up. You don't normally notice that. You normally get all involved in the thoughts the mind is creating. This time you notice them, and you notice that they did not stop. That, in and of itself, is a form of witness consciousness. You are witnessing the thoughts instead of getting lost in them. Don't call that a bad meditation. If you practice the piano and make mistakes, that's not a bad practice session. Every practice session is about learning. Likewise, there is no such thing as a bad meditation. There's just practicing being aware of what is going on in there. Of course, there are higher states of meditation than simply noticing the mind, but you should not set expectations. Expectations are just another mind trip. Decide that you're sitting down because you choose to learn to be present and work on yourself. This is a time when you don't have so many external distractions, so you can practice being present. That's all. You may not like what you see inside, but you are learning to be present with it. You're learning to be at peace with what used to drive you crazy. To appreciate the purpose of spiritual techniques, you have to realize that you're addicted to your mind. You're more addicted to your mind than people are to drugs. In fact, the reason many people start doing drugs is to get away from their mind's incessant chatter. That's also why some people start drinking. The mind can be impossible to live with. If you're like most people, you're addicted to every single word your mind says. If your mind suddenly says, I don't like it here, I want to leave, you leave. If it says, I think something good will come from being here, I want to stay for a while, you stay. You're absorbed in your thoughts, and you follow whatever the mind says. In essence, your mind is your guru, and you need to back off from that relationship. Changing your relationship with your mind is a major part of the spiritual journey. You don't do this by fighting with the mind and resisting thoughts. You do this by learning how to listen to the mind. You are the consciousness, and the mind is the object of consciousness. You must be able to withdraw your attention from the mind, even when the mind is talking. The easiest way to do this is to pay attention to something else. One very common meditation technique is to pay attention to your breath. Just watch your breath. Over time, you will see that if you are watching your breath go in and out, you're not focusing on the mind. If you try this very simple technique of watching your breath, you'll see how addicted you are to the mind. One moment you're sitting there watching your breath and not being distracted by the mind. The next thing you know, you're lost in your thoughts. That is what's going to happen. You may not be able to sit there for 15 minutes and watch your breath. Good. That shows how strong your addiction is to the mind. The reason you lose focus on your breath is that consciousness gets distracted by what your mind is saying. In other words, you stopped watching your breath and you started watching your mind. The moment you catch on that you've done that, don't get down on yourself. Just start watching your breath again. The entire purpose is to practice gaining control of your attention so that it becomes yours again. What you pay attention to determines your experiences in life. You should have the right to consciously decide what to pay attention to. Until you learn to back away from the mind, you have no choice. You pay attention to whatever your mind says. There's one more element you can add to this simple meditation technique we've been discussing. You're not going to know right away that you stop watching your breath. You're going to get lost in your mind, and maybe 15 minutes will go by. To help notice sooner, instead of just watching your breath, count your breaths. Simply count a round of inhale and exhale as 1, then 2, and so on. But don't count to 100. Count to 25 and start over. That way you will see sooner that you drifted off the breath. In, out, 1. In, out, 2. In, out, 3. Watch your breath go in and out of your abdomen. Just sit there and watch your breath while you count to 25, then go back to 1. If you find that you're at 43, just start over at 1. Not a thought about it. Just immediately start counting at 1. You now have a job to do that requires you to be present. You must be conscious enough while watching your breath to know to go back to 1 after you reach 25. This doesn't require thought. Just requires awareness. Some people turn mala beads during meditation. Others do mantra. These are just ways to keep your consciousness on something other than your wandering thoughts. So meditation is easy if you understand that it's not about having spiritual experiences. Please don't worry about that. Just practice being present. If you do this on a regular basis, you're going to find that you are consciously aware during the day when your samskaras get hit. Now it's just a question of your level of commitment. Every single time you start to get disturbed, are you willing to relax and release? Or do you still need to go through another round of expressing and defending your blockages? Chapter 34, Handling the Bigger Stuff. Real spiritual practice entails devoting every moment of your life to your liberation. Life is your real guru. It's challenging you to either move further away from self or come back to self. Life is your friend. Everything that happens in life is an opportunity to get better at freeing yourself from yourself, dying to be reborn. If you sincerely work on releasing the low-hanging fruit, and if you remain centered in the seat of self as your past samskaras are released, you will become a more conscious being. You will no longer have to come back to center after a difficult conversation. You will remain centered during the entire experience. At first, this is difficult. Just keep working on it. Make this the most important thing in your life, because it is. It really is the only rational way to live your life. It's not a religious technique. It's simply deciding to wake up and make something great of yourself. If you constantly let go, you will eventually achieve a state of perpetual presence. You will be established in the seat of self, and you will never leave that seat again for the rest of your life. No matter what happens, no matter who dies, no matter who leaves you, no matter what, all that stuff can still come up, but you will have the power to decide what to do about it. There will be time you never had before between the event and your reaction to it. Things start to unfold as if in slow motion, even reactive thoughts and emotions. That gives you time to relax and let go. We are now ready to address the bigger stuff. As you let go, and there is less smaller stuff, the bigger things will come up all by themselves. You may start having very intense dreams. You may be driving in the car and begin feeling powerful emotions for no apparent reason. Good. You don't need a reason. It is simply energy, the Shakti, trying to push up because you have given her the room to do so. She is your best friend. The energy flow inside is helping you and it's always trying to push up. You don't need to do anything except keep letting go. What if something happens that's a really bad situation? The house catches fire. You lose your job. That's certainly not low-hanging fruit. If you're sincere on this path, what do? First, let go. Always let go of your human reaction first. If you're upset and can't deal with the situation, what good are you? If you can't handle the sight of blood, you're of no use at the scene of an accident. First, let go of your personal reaction so you can serve the situation to the best of your ability. Let's take a real-life example. You had a phone call informing you that your 16-year-old son had drugs in his school locker. Difficult things like this happen in the world. You may not like it, but you're going to have to deal with it. Perhaps your mind starts up, how could he do this to me? Oh my God, what did I do wrong? My husband's going to be so mad at me. We're having enough trouble in our relationship. This could be the end of my marriage. Why do I deserve this? What on earth has all that personal melodrama got to do with your son's problem? Those are your problems, and you need to let them go. You're not supposed to be interacting with the world outside based on your blockages inside. All that personal talk has nothing to do with the problem at hand. It has to do with the fact that this situation hit your blockages, and now you're reacting to your issues instead of your child's issues. If you allow that to happen, you're going to make every decision based on what makes you feel better, which is likely not what is best for the situation at hand. If you take things personally, you will try to protect yourself by avoiding disturbing experiences. But difficult situations present an opportunity to change that dynamic. The way you do that is to let go of your entire personal reaction to the situation. You just let it go. You don't let go of the situation. You let go of your reaction to the situation. Go to the principal office, but not to protect yourself. Go because your son needs help. Go because the principal needs help with the situation. Go because you're the parent and your son is your responsibility. Do your best to raise the energy in a constructive manner. You can't do this if you're focusing on your embarrassment, fears, and other personal reactions. Bottom line, you let go of the personal so you can interact properly with what's in front of you. It's the same thing in business. You're in a meeting and discussing a project. You have a bright idea that you want to contribute, so you put it out there and it gets shot down. That hurts. Of course it does. You have an ego in there, and it's going to get bothered. Now, for the rest of the meeting, either you don't contribute anything because you're sulking, or you keep bringing up proof that what you said wasn't so dumb. You no longer belong in that meeting. Your presence has become about you, not about the project. You can't work like that. Your underlying motive can't ever be about you. It has to be about serving what's happening in front of you. To the absolute best of your ability, you always serve life as it unfolds before you. The process of letting go becomes how you work on yourself. Your only decision is, are you going to let go or not? It's your choice. Either you're working on yourself on a regular basis or you're not. The blockages inside you that generate personal thoughts and emotions are nothing but leftover some scars. They are based on past issues you couldn't handle, and they will tend to lead you in the wrong direction. Learn to express your higher self. Express the deeper part of your being that is in harmony with life. Keep letting go. The entire spiritual path is letting go of yourself. What will happen if you do this? That's what we'll explore next. We're going to deal with what life is meant to be like for every single person, regardless of what has ever happened to you or what you've ever done. It really doesn't matter. If you let go of the samskaras inside of you, they will no longer affect your life. You can truly be free of your past. This is what living untethered means. It means letting go of yourself. To transcend your personal self, as Buddha taught. To die to be reborn, as Christ taught. It is the essence of all spiritual teachings, and it is the truth. Everyone is capable of freeing themselves if they are willing to do the inner work. Part 8. Living a Life of Acceptance. Chapter 35, Dealing with Blocked Energies. One thing is for certain, we are all conscious inside. The question is, what are we conscious of? Pretty much everyone is aware that there are constantly changing energies within that can be overwhelming at times, even if they don't understand the energies, to stay upright in life, people are either pushing the energies away or trying to release them through outer expression. Though both of these efforts cause their own set of problems, they are better than drowning inside. When people are actually drowning in water, what do? They try to grab something solid, like a board floating by, so they don't sink. That is how most people live their lives. They are grabbing onto whatever they can so they don't drown. Generally, what they are grabbing onto is something outside themselves. They think that if others respected them more and treated them better, it wouldn't be so caustic inside. If someone would just truly love them and be loyal to them, then they'd be okay. The problem is, if they manage to get what they want, they will grab a hold for dear life and never let go, which creates its own issues. Even worse, if the outside world ever stops giving them what they want, they will start to drown again. If you want to see how much you cling to the outside world in order to avoid drowning inside, just see what happens when the world doesn't unfold the way you expect. What happens when someone very close to you behaves in a way that doesn't align with your model? Your mind and heart catch fire. This happens even if the person hasn't actually done anything. All that is needed is for your mind to think, what if my husband leaves me? Sally's husband left her. If Sam ever left me, I would just die. That's all it takes. And you feel pain and disturbance. All the energies become unsettled inside. Why does this happen? It happens because you've been trying to build a place of solidity within your mind that you can hold on to. As long as everything reasonably reinforces that, you feel safe and relatively okay. But you have distanced yourself from the core of your being by clinging to something outside. That's what we do, and it doesn't work. If you want to grow spiritually, if you want to have a beautiful life instead of a midlife crisis, you need to do the inner work. A midlife crisis happens when you've been building and clinging and fighting for half your life in order to be okay, and you're not. You're simply not free and at peace inside, even though you have the kids, the marriage, and the job. As it turns out, midlife crises are perfectly reasonable. It's surprising more people don't have them. Halfway through your life, you realize it hasn't worked. You're still not okay. Sure, you're okay as long as the spouse behaves and the kids do well in school and you get respected at your job. As long as all this happens and your finances hold up, you're conditionally okay. But inside, you know it can change on a dime, so you must keep struggling to stay ahead. That's why life is a struggle. The alternative is to clean up the mess inside. Someday you will realize you are not drowning. You're simply sitting on a planet spinning around the middle of absolutely nowhere. That's the truth of the matter. The Cassini spacecraft took a picture of the Earth from 2 million miles out. The Earth is just a small dot in the middle of dark, empty space. How can you drop down into the nicest planet there is and not be okay? We've looked far and wide with our space telescopes. We haven't found anything anywhere, even close to the majesty of Earth. Basically, you won the lottery. You drop down into this phenomenal planet that's always exciting, challenging, and growthful. It has all sorts of colors, shapes, and sounds. It's unbelievably amazing. Yet what do? You suffer. Why? It's not the planet causing you to suffer. It's the stuff you have stored inside. The logical questions become, why are you storing all of the stuff inside? And if you're going to store stuff inside, why not make it nice stuff? People collect all sorts of things as hobbies. Some collect spoons, teacups, stamps, or coins from all over the world. But you had a brilliant idea for a hobby. Let's collect bad experiences. That's what you did. I'm going to collect every bad experience I ever had and keep it inside me so it can bother me for the rest of my life. How can that work out well? If you keep doing that, you're going to collect more and more bad experiences and your life will get heavier and heavier. Are you really going to continue making your life so difficult? In essence, you're causing yourself to be unhappy. Then you're going outside and demanding that the world somehow make you happy. The world cannot make you happy while you're inside making yourself unhappy. It's that simple. You have to work on letting go of the root cause of suffering. The spiritual path is always about letting go of yourself, and that means dealing with the blocked energies. The blocked energies inside are going to build up and need release if you don't deal with them. These energies may release in the form of anger, verbal or physical fighting, and other bursts of uncontrolled behavior. When you allow the energies to release unconsciously like this, you're not in charge. The energies will tend to follow the path of least resistance, as determined by the samskaras. When you allow this to happen, the uncontrolled energy carves channels within you that will make it easier to flow that way again. The energy flow becomes a habit. Not only is losing it unhealthy because of what you may say or do outside, but you also increase the probability of losing it again in the same way. This can cause all kinds of trouble. Anytime you're not in charge in there, there's going to be trouble. It's that simple. Understanding this process of blocking and then expressing energies helps us have compassion for our own past behaviors as well as for others. Compassion means you understand the root cause of people's behavior. People have trouble handling their blocked energies, and in most cases, they have not been taught how to channel the energies to a higher level. There is a higher level of our being, and those lower energies can be raised up. You have access to a much higher way to deal with inner energies than to simply step aside and let them express. That doesn't mean they should be suppressed. Your choices are not limited to expression or suppression. As we will discuss, there is a third choice, transmutation, and that's where true spirituality comes in. Chapter 36, Transmutation of the Energy. Suppression blocks inner energy. Unchanneled expression wastes its power. The highest use of the energy is transmutation. Most people know nothing about transmuting the energy. It is the essence of spirituality. Currently, your natural energy flow is blocked by the samskaras in your lower energy centers. When the energy tries to release, you either push it back down or allow it to blow off some steam externally. This external release solves nothing in the long run. The energy will just build back up behind your blockages. The release is temporary because the cause of the blocked energy has not been addressed. What if, when the energy tries to come up, you see it as an opportunity to get rid of the blockage it's hitting? The energy is going to attempt to release the samskara by pushing it out of the way. The problem is, if the blockage was stored with pain, it's going to come back up with pain. Instead of pushing it back down because you can't handle the experience, or releasing it outside as a way of relief, you can relax and release at such a deep level that you allow the blockage to pass without resistance. That is what transmutation of the energy means. It involves using the rising energy as a positive force by allowing it to cleanse whatever was blocking it. This is the highest way to work with your inner energy. Use it to grow spiritually. Use it to let go of the blockages that are keeping you trapped. It is those blockages that cause suffering. They only allow you to be okay if things are a certain way. This creates discomfort, anxiety, and fear about life. That discomfort drives people to seek all sorts of distractions, which just creates more turmoil. We all know about this cycle of disturbance and temporary relief. Now you know there's a much higher way to live. If you're willing to release the blockages, over time, the energy will find its way up. It will push the samskaras out of the way, and the next thing you know, you won't even be able to relate to how you used to be. This is especially true about how you used to deal with some people around you. You'll wish you could go back and say, "I'm so sorry, I was so lost." You will see how relationships used to be about finding a way to be more comfortable with yourself. Once the blockages begin to clear, the energy will find its way into your heart, and that will comfort and sustain you. Relationships will naturally be about love and caring. All of them will be about serving others. They will no longer be about control or getting something you need. This is what happens as the energy is free to rise within you. If you release the blockages, the energy will naturally rise higher. You will not have to fight with it. The energy wants to come up. Always remember, the energy wants to go up. You do not have to force it. It is best for long-term spiritual growth if the energy is allowed to rise naturally. When you get blockages out of the way, you will feel a steady upward flow of energy. Eventually, you will realize that the Shakti wishes to express something so beautiful it will leave you breathless. you begin to know a peace that passes all understanding. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. You won't need anything. Your natural state is so beautiful. You're whole and complete within yourself. It simply depends on your willingness to work with the energies. If you do, Shakti will go higher and higher until eventually it moves as fountains of joy flowing out the higher energy centers. As it does, your entire relationship with this world will transform into something very beautiful. What you were trying to get from the outside will now naturally be going on inside. You'll become filled with love and ecstasy. Again, Christ described this as, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. You will have a perpetual flow of energy feeding you from within. The transmutation of the inner energy flow is the answer to all the world's woes. If people felt whole inside and were fed by the constant flow of love and deep peace, they wouldn't be fighting with each other. Why would you kill, rob, or harm someone if you were content within yourself? It's only because people are struggling inside that they're driven to struggle outside. That's the only reason we need so many rules and laws. People left to their own create great trouble struggling with their inner disturbances. There is something much higher within us, and it happens to be our natural state. You're a beautiful being, a truly awe-inspiring being, but you can't reflect that beauty if you're not okay. No matter how beautiful you are, if you're trying not to drown, you're not going to seem so beautiful. To stop struggling once and for all, work on letting go of the blockages. A spiritual being views life as follows. I came down to the planet Earth for a short time, and these are the experiences I got to have. They were challenging, but I handled them and am better off because of them. You don't suppress your issues, and you don't allow them to become the foundation of your life. A past issue is just one of the many things that happened to help you grow. You don't need to know why it happened. You don't need to analyze its cause and effect from a karmic point of view. All sorts of things happen every day, and you don't understand why they happen, yet you're comfortable handling them. You only insist on understanding the events that you can't comfortably handle. Understanding becomes a crutch, a source of rationalization. If the mind can't fit an event into its conceptual model, it insists on knowing why it happened. Better to accept reality first than work with it in a constructive manner. You are the self. You're the conscious witness of all that passes before you. You dwell deep inside, and nothing in there is more powerful than you. You have free will. Use it to accept what has already happened, rather than letting past events mess up the rest of your life. Free yourself from these samskaras. Transmute your blocked energy flow into a powerful spiritual force. Chapter 37, The Power of Intent. You are capable of letting go at a very deep level if you really want to. It's not a question of ability. It depends on the intensity of intent. Inner work is different from outer work. In the outer world, there are things you may not be able to accomplish because of physical limitations. Try as you will, you cannot pick up a mountain or run at the speed of light. You have physical limitations. But inside, you have no such limitations because there is no physical aspect to self. You are pure consciousness, and your will has complete dominion over mind and emotions. As we have seen, most of your thoughts and emotions are created by the blockages you have stored inside. These blockages are yours, and you can let them go anytime you want. Once again, the problem is since they were stored with pain, they're going to release with pain. That is where the depth of commitment comes in. Do you want to be free to live a deep, beautiful life more than you want to avoid discomfort? Plenty of drug addicts have gone through the pain of withdrawal to get their lives back. It comes down to the old adage, where there's a will, there's a way. You can let your blockages go if you really want to. What would you be willing to go through for the most fulfilling love relationship, a constant state of well-being, and the ability to feel God's presence flowing through you at all times? How would you answer that? Would you say, I'm too busy, and I don't like any discomfort? Or would you meet the challenge and say, anything, I'd be willing to go through anything to permanently live in such a state? Fortunately, you have the ability. That is not the problem. But do you have the strength of intent to take the deep spiritual journey to liberation. Will is like a muscle. You build it by exercising it. Practice saying, I am the boss in here. This is my house. I'm the only one living in here, and I have the right to make it be a nice place to live. It's not about becoming a control freak in there. It's about learning to surrender. Surrender is not about suppression. It's not about control. Surrender is about letting go of weakness and being committed enough to carry out your intent. Surrender is handling anything that needs to be released inside and letting it pass through. Remember, it was you who willfully resisted past events, which caused some scars to be stored. Why not learn to willfully relax and release as the blockage is cleansed, so you can experience the beautiful inner energy flow as it is meant to be? If you practice letting go of your blockages, not only will you get to live in an elevated inner state, you will also become a blessing on the earth. Any place you go, anything you do, will carry a blessing for others. If you stay with this process every day, you will get there. Put time aside to remind yourself who you are and to recall your commitment to cleaning up inside. Morning and evening practices will help you do this. It doesn't have to be much time, just enough to relax and release, come back to center, and remember to use every moment of your life to let go of your blockages. If you do that, the rest will happen by itself. It's a natural process that will take place. Always remember, it is Spirit's job to liberate you from yourself. Shakti wants to be free, but you're in the way. When Shakti starts to push the blockages up, you're going to have the tendency to push them back down because it's not comfortable to live in that fire. You stored past disturbances in there, and it doesn't feel good when they're stirred up. Imagine that somebody's talking to you and you're feeling strong and confident about the conversation. Suddenly they say something that hits your blockages and you start to feel your strength drop out from under you. If you are sincere, you use the situation for your growth. It's not the time to argue with the person. It's the time to grow spiritually. Calm and centered, you inwardly ask, what's happening inside of me? What blockage got hit that caused this shift in the energy to take place? Then to use the situation for your growth, you relax and allow the energy to push the blockage up. You don't have to do anything except not interfere with the process. Shakti will do her job of pushing up. You have to do your job of letting go. To remember to do this in the moment, establish the practice of recalling your intention every morning. The purpose of my day is letting go of my blockages and evolving spiritually. Then every evening, remember, the purpose of my day was to let go of my blockages and evolve spiritually. Never complain about what happened. Just inwardly release the events of the day so they don't leave some scars. Don't let anything remain stuck in there. Once you get good at this, you will learn to do it throughout the day. Do your best with each interaction and then let it go. Always remember what's going on. You're in there and something is happening that's causing the energy to shift inside. Your tendency is to push it away if you don't like it or grab onto it if you do. It's as if you have hands in there and you use them to try to control the inner experience. Surrender means don't do that. That's all it means. It means you're ready, willing, and able to sit in the seat of consciousness when the energy shifts and just let it go. Your interaction with the energy is similar to when you decide to stop smoking or break any other habit. You're going to feel the tendency to resume the habit. It feels like a magnetic pull on you to go in that direction. The same thing happens when a blockage gets hit. It has attractive power that draws you into it. You need to see that. You need to notice that it keeps pulling on you, and sometimes it won't leave you alone. That's not bad. That's good. Just relax more. It's all about relaxing. If you're using your will to relax, you can't use your inner hands to push energy away or grab onto it. Someday, you're going to remember this discussion. Something is going to wake up inside, and you'll know just what we've been talking about. You'll observe the energy pulling on you, and you will try to let go. For the first time, you'll realize what is actually happening. You are struggling with yourself. You are both sides of the struggle. Part of you wants to let go, but part still wants to give in to the pull of the energy. Once you sincerely want to let go of the old habitual energy flow, you will realize that you have all the power you need inside. You're the only one living in there. You just need to deeply relax and stop fighting with yourself. At that point, something amazing is going to happen. All the energy that was pulling you down and out changes direction. It begins to lift you in and up. This is the transmutation of the energy, and it is real. As liberation becomes the meaning of your life, this inner process will step up significantly. Once you learn that your center of intent is stronger than any of the habitual energy flows caused by your samskaras, you will sit quietly within, in the seat of consciousness, and allow the process of purification to take place. Every day, every moment, you have the opportunity to explore the greatness of your being. Letting go like this is not a struggle or an act of control. It's much subtler than that. Perhaps this analogy will help. Imagine you're in a game of tug-of-war. You're all alone at one end of the rope, and an entire NFL football team is on the other end. You're in big trouble. The force pulling you in the team's direction is very strong. You've studied all the latest techniques of how to dig in your heels, how to best use your body weight, and anything else the experts could teach about standing your ground in a tug-of-war. You're doing all the techniques, but they're not working. Suddenly, Yoda, the great sage from Star Wars, shows up to help. He thinks everyone's name is Luke. Luke, you know not how to do this. Let go, Luke. What do you mean, let go? If I let go, they will pull me through the mud head first. Let go you must. I don't get it. How do I just let go when this great force is pulling on me? Relax hands, Luke. Relax your hands. No, not hands. Feet, legs, body position. That's how you end this tug of war. Over it will be, Luke, if you relax your hands. Turns out, it's true. If you relax your hands during a tug of war, the struggle will immediately be over. No more rope, no more pull. No matter how strong the pull is, if you relax your hands, you can go home and have lunch. That's all you really wanted to do to begin with. Who said you had to take the whole football team home with you? Just relax and let go, and the whole struggle will be over. That's exactly what it's like to surrender. You're in there, and the energy is pulling you into it. Please don't fight it. Just relax your inner hands and let go. If this sounds very Zen, good, because it is. You don't need to be strong. You need to be wise. The blocked energy can't take you anywhere if you simply relax and let go. Over time, you will find there's a place inside that is behind the commotion of the storm. You can simply relax and fall back into that place. This is the place from which you are noticing the inner commotion, and this place is still, quiet, and there are never any storms. This is the seat of self. You don't find your way back to self. You simply cease to leave. If you work on this, you will come to a beautiful state within that's always there for you. It's a place of refuge. And all you ever need to do is keep letting go. That is the life of surrender. Chapter 38, Exploring the Higher States. Once you are no longer drowning inside, a whole other life becomes possible for you. We can now begin to discuss who you are and what it could be like in there. As the blockages release, the energy is freed from having to go around them. You start to feel happier. You start to feel higher. You start to feel like you used to feel when you had a really good day or a particularly good experience. But this time, nothing special is happening. You're just feeling an uplifting energy going on inside of you that keeps getting higher and higher. You start feeling love simply because the sky is blue. It used to take a special moment in a relationship to blow you away like that. Everything that's happening comes in, and you feel it at a richer, deeper level. This is because you're more open, more receptive. You don't have the needs and problems that you were trying to solve. Because you don't have all that commotion inside, and you're feeling more whole and complete, there's nothing you need from the outside. You start to look at needs in a completely different light. You used to make satisfying needs your priority. Most of our modern needs are psychological, not physiological. Psychological needs are actually unnatural. They indicate that something is missing or wrong. If you are feeling whole and complete inside, there are no psychological needs. Psychological needs come from your blockages. When the energy is freed, what you feel is love, joy, and enthusiasm, which are just different words for uplifting energy. In the purest sense, this upward flowing energy is quite different from an emotion. An emotion emanates out of your heart and pulls you into its vibration. Enthusiasm is something that wells up inside. It's a system-wide, spontaneous, uplifting flow of energy. It is, in fact, freed Shakti. When your energies are liberated, you don't need energy from anybody else. You have so much energy inside you, it's incomprehensible. Surely you have experienced from time to time that if something you really like happens, there can be a sudden burst of inner energy. How long does that take? A billionth of a second. Imagine you're feeling depressed or not doing well. Suddenly something happens. Perhaps you receive a phone call that gets you talking and smiling. It makes your energy flow. The energy was always there, but you opened up because the phone call matched something you liked. A blockage temporarily got out of the way, and all this energy flowed up. Truth is, if that blockage had not been in the way, you would not have needed the phone call to open you up. This is why you do the inner work of releasing blockages. As the blockages release, the energy takes you to higher and higher states. You already know what the higher states are. The higher states are about love. They're about being really enthusiastic about your job and anything else you're doing. The higher energies are beautiful. They're much more beautiful than the expressions of the lower energies. As you open up, life is no longer about seeking non-negative states. It becomes about allowing ever-increasing positive states. Growth used to be about not feeling anger or anxiety anymore. Now it's about feeling so much overwhelming love when you wake up that you have trouble getting out of bed. Then the feeling of enthusiasm to go to work gets so strong that it pulls you out of bed and propels you through your day. This is what it's like when the energy is flowing. Most people don't believe life can be like this. They feel they must find the perfect job in order to be enthused to go to work. How are you defining the perfect job? You define it as the one that opens you. In other words, the one that fits your blockages just right so your energy can flow. Problem is, if the same job ever hits your blockages the wrong way, you will close. You're still letting some scars run your life. It's not a matter of finding the right job. It's a matter of releasing the blockages so that you can be enthused about the job you have. No matter how high you get, you can always get much higher. Don't believe those who say you can't enjoy happiness unless you also know sadness. That is not true. That's what life is like if you're still blocked. Once you're unblocked, you will notice the energy is always beautiful. It is an ever-new rush of uplifting joy that raises your heart, your mind, and everything inside of you. You'll be more aware than you used to be and have the enthusiasm of a child about everything you get to do. You might wonder why you'd be motivated to do anything if you're already that content. Why bother having a job or even a relationship if you're already filled with so much love and happiness? The answer is simple. Love wants to express itself, and enthusiasm wants to create. Once the energy is no longer blocked and is flowing freely, personal needs are no longer your motivation. Your actions are the expression of love and gratitude for life. Your whole life becomes an act of service. Even your relationships become acts of service to other human beings. You don't need anything from a relationship, but love loves to express itself. If you have tremendous love going on inside, people will be attracted to you. You don't need to worry about attracting somebody or keeping them interested in you. People are attracted to light. It's very natural. If there is someone special, you shower them with love day and night, expecting nothing in return. Love is a very unique gift. It is just as beautiful for both the giver and the receiver. Life is so simple once you're okay inside. You don't do things because of the fruits they bear. Each moment is whole and complete within itself. You reach the point to where there is nothing more sacred than the spirit flowing inside you. There can be moments of disturbance, but you don't have to do anything about them. They come and they go, and they don't affect your energy flow unless you let them. You will come to realize that this energy inside you knows what it's doing. It's not only beautiful, it's intelligent. If you let it, It will fix everything. The uprising energy will do all the inner work for you. Your only job is to not interfere, to surrender. Let's go even deeper to explore what happens next. The energy flowing inside you is so beautiful that your consciousness is naturally attracted to it. What you are experiencing is everything you ever hoped to feel from the outside, but could only taste it for a moment. You fall completely in love with the spiritual energy flow. Once you're being fed by the inner flow, your outer life will be fine. Before you cleared the blockages, you needed the world to be a certain way for you to be okay. This created a struggle with life on a daily basis. When you let go enough to clear the inner energy flow, the struggling ceases. You realize through direct experience that everything you ever wanted is flowing inside you, and the battle will pretty much be over. Attraction to the unconditional flow of this inner energy is a wonderful love affair. In fact, the Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Now you do. That is the ultimate commandment in the Old Testament, and Jesus repeated it many times. You no longer have to worry about how to love God, because what's flowing inside of you is spirit, and you naturally love it with all your heart. You like being high, and spirit is the ultimate high. It's higher than any drug could ever take you. It's higher than any relationship you could ever have. The love and joy it brings will never stop unless you stop it. That river will flow every moment of your life unless you dam it up. But now you know better. Once the energy starts spontaneously flowing, you won't touch it. You just respect it, honor it, and appreciate it. You inwardly say thank you and keep letting go. That becomes your only prayer. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now that this energy is flowing inside you, it will clean up the rest of your blockages. This will not happen immediately. You must be willing to let them go naturally. The Shakti will push the samskaras out if you let her. Your entire life becomes spiritual, about spirit. You rest into the beautiful flow of energy, and it gives you the strength to let go of what needs to be cleansed. In time, you learn to enjoy every moment of this journey. It is freeing you, taking you to God. When you are settling into the upward flow of energy, that is a state of true contentment. Contentment doesn't mean you're lazy. It means you are not being disturbed inside. What is going on inside you is so beautiful that for the first time in your life, you feel completely at peace. You're not looking for anything. If you look out into the world, you see what's there, not what you want or don't want to be there. The experience of the outside doesn't stimulate any preferences inside of you. It just comes in, passes through, and leaves you as it found you, in a state of ecstatic well-being. Chapter 39, In the World, But Not of It. Once you have reached a deep level of inner clarity, you will notice that just because you are content with reality doesn't mean you don't interact with it. The world continues to appear before you, but there's nothing personal about it anymore. It's just the part of creation passing before you at that moment. Reality doesn't bother you because you don't need anything from it. It simply exists, and you simply exist, in perfect harmony. Every moment unfolding in front of you is there for you to serve. It can be as simple as appreciating it, or you may be able to raise the energy of the moment passing before you. A smile, a kind word, a helping hand, these are all ways of raising the energy as it passes by. Doing your job to the best of your ability, taking care of your family, serving your community, these simple acts are just as much service to the universe as anything else. Imagine you're taking a walk and there's a piece of paper on the side of the road. You feel the disharmony and you pick it up. It's not a have to or a supposed to. You're simply an artist making the world more beautiful. Your mind doesn't say, I'll pick this one up, but I'm not going to pick up every single piece of litter. Nor does your mind say, what idiot threw this piece of paper down here? This is the kind of person who ruins the world. No, you're simply a spontaneous being who is in harmony with life. You expect nothing back from your actions because they were not done for approval or recognition. You can't help but share the beautiful energy going on inside of you with the moment in front of you. The highest life you can live is when every single moment that passes before you is better off because it did. Serve the present moment with all your heart and soul. Imagine what the world would be like if everyone did that. Start by raising what appears before you. If you can't even serve what's put in front of you, how are you going to change the world? If you're getting so upset about conditions in the world that you're edgy with everyone around you, you're not helping anyone. If you can't create harmony in your own household, what right do you have to complain that countries are shooting missiles at each other? You have to live a life that, if everyone lived it, there would be peace. If you can't do that, you're part of the problem, not the solution. It's all about letting go of yourself. The world is going to come in, and it's going to hit what's left of your samskaras. What you feel going on inside when that happens is reactive energy. Don't ever act based on that. You will just be polluting the environment with your inner blockages. No good can come from that. A spiritual life is not about adhering to a given set of rules. It's about never acting based on your personal energy. You won't be able to do that to start with, so work on it. When the energy gets disturbed, just let it go. Your initial reaction will generally be your personal stuff coming up. If you let it go, you'll be able to interact with the moment in front of you in a much more constructive manner. Simply ask yourself, is there something I can be doing to serve the moment in front of me? Not for me. I already let go of me. Now that I'm clear and non-reactive, is there something I can do to raise the moment as it passes by? Once you learn to let go of the reactionary noise of personal thoughts and emotions, things will become clear. You will know how to work with the situation in front of you. If you're conscious, present, and paying attention, you will know what to do. The moment in front of you is talking to you. It doesn't have to be in words. The piece of paper on the ground, the person who needs some help, whatever it is, your response becomes obvious. The deepest truth is that it doesn't even matter what you do. What matters is where you're coming from. What matters is your motive. If your motive is to let go of yourself and serve the moment in front of you, you're worthy of great respect. How would you like to meet somebody whose entire motive and purpose in life is to first let go of their personal blockages and then do their best to serve what's in front of them? They can't do wrong because their motive is pure. If the motive itself is pure and impersonal, in the end, it will spread light. Be sure your motive is pure, then don't look back. If somebody criticizes your actions, just apologize and let go. Always be willing to learn. If you come from the highest place you can, there's no guilt, no shame. The fruits of the best you can do are a very holy thing. If something terrible comes back from the best you can do, own it. It's yours. Let it teach you. Let it make you better, so you'll do better next time. Please, don't feel bad about it. Don't judge anything. It's only when you didn't do your best, you got personally disturbed and gave into it, that's when you build karma and things become really complicated. Practice letting go, and eventually you'll find yourself in a seat of awareness that can't be disturbed by anything you're experiencing. There will always be a beautiful energy feeding you and raising you. At that point, there are no more techniques. There are no more teachings. It all happens naturally from then on. Intuitively, it dawns on you that this beautiful energy flow must be coming from somewhere. Yogananda wrote in Whistler from Eternity, 1949, page 156, "Oh, what has become of me? Intoxication on intoxication, endless, indescribable throngs of divine intoxication ceaselessly come to me." Where is this energy coming from? You feel it as a flow, just as if rushes of water were flowing upward within you. This is not theoretical, it's real. There is a constant experience of Shakti, a spirit, flowing up inside of you. It must be coming from somewhere. It has to have a source. You are now ready for the next stage of your journey home. You begin to seek the source. You will very quickly realize the mind cannot help you on this journey. Any focus on thoughts draws consciousness away from self and diminishes the energy flow. This is not an analytical or philosophical journey. Only one thing can seek the source of the energy flow, that which is experiencing it, your consciousness. To seek the source of a freshwater spring, You swim toward the flow. You feel the current and go into it. It's the same when you're seeking the source of the Shakti flow. Your consciousness feels the flow and melts into it. This becomes your entire spiritual practice. This is surrender, real surrender. Heretofore, you've practiced surrender by letting go of your lower self. Now that you've learned to feel this higher energy flow inside, you surrender to it. Until this final surrender, there is still a subject-object experience. Consciousness subject is experienced in the Shakti flow object. If you want to truly know the flow, you must fall into it, become one with it. To get closer to becoming one with the flow, you must surrender your entire sense of separation. It's not enough to experience the energy. You must release yourself into it. As you let go, the flow will pull you in. That's where the great masters went. In Sanskrit, the word yoga means union. Meher Baba said that when he first went into the highest states of enlightenment, it was like a drop of water fell into the ocean. Try to find that drop. You can't. It merged with the ocean. Christ said, "I and my Father are one." John chapter 10, verse 30. These teachings are the same. When you cease to separate your sense of self from this flow of the energy, it starts to pull you into it, and you become one with it. Yogananda called it a river of joy flowing inside you. Your path is to find it, go there, get in, and drown. Now we're discussing the highest states, and everyone is capable of achieving this state. Remember how we got here. We got here by letting go of the blockages to this flow. The higher states are totally natural, but you shouldn't be seeking them. Don't be blocked, and then try to experience what it's like to not be blocked. Get unblocked, and the deeper meditations will come completely naturally. You'll be minding your own business watching TV, and you'll fall into a state that you couldn't reach after hours of meditation. You'll become a being of Shakti. She will take you into ecstasy over and over again. There is nothing more beautiful than the Shakti flow. She is so fulfilling that you would never block her again. If something happens and you feel you want to defend yourself, don't touch it. First let go of the part of you that wants to close down, then deal with the outside. Use everything to let go of what stands between you and the God-realized state. Start with the low-hanging fruit throughout the day and then progress to letting go of your past. That's a perfect way to begin meaningful transformation. Once you learn how to let go of self-generated disturbances, inevitably something bigger will happen. Because of the work you have done on yourself, it will be totally natural for you to let go during more challenging times. Don't wait until a terrible bomb goes off in your life to wonder what to do differently. You need to do the work of releasing yourself in your everyday life. You will then be able to handle anything life brings your way. Like most things in life, these deeper spiritual states take time. Just do the inner work, and the energy will start flowing. Once the floodgates open within you, you'll have all the help you need for the ascent. You are not walking this path alone. All who walked before you are lifting you. Just keep letting go. No matter what happens, keep letting go. These states are not going to happen all at once and then stay there. You'll get rushes from time to time because something opens up. It's okay if it closes back down. Don't worry. You still have work to do. Be diligent, but give it time. Eventually, the upward flow will never leave you. You will become a knower of your soul, a knower of spirit. When you can relax and release into the deeper states, you will finally awaken to full self-realization. That is what true enlightenment is. Enlightenment is not a spiritual experience. It's a permanent spiritual state. No matter how deep you have gone, please don't say you're enlightened. Let the word be reserved for the great masters. Just be content. Don't build a spiritual ego. Spirituality is not about hanging out a shingle that says, "I'm a spiritual person." It's about letting go of that too. It's about perpetually letting go of yourself completely. If you never stop doing this, the energy will take over. Where you used to see your personal self expressing, you will now see nothing but the flow of Shakti. Surrender to the flow. Give your life to it. Merge into it. And it will take you the rest of the way. That is the final surrender. It has been such an honor to share these teachings with you. Please don't let this be just another book you heard and then go back to your normal way of life. Do this work. This work is not about renunciation of life. It's about truly experiencing life at the deepest level. If you let go of yourself on a daily basis, under all circumstances, you will find what is greater than yourself. That's just the way it works. Where you're not, God is. Where God is, you're not. Now do you understand why Christ said the kingdom is within you? It is the very essence of your being. Your heights are incomprehensible, and you're perfectly capable of doing this work. Your inner states will just keep getting higher and higher as you keep letting go. The fact that you're even interested in these teachings means you've changed the world. You who do the work of liberating yourself are to be deeply respected. With great love and respect, Michael A. Singer. This concludes Living Untethered by Michael A. Singer, narrated by the author, Michael A. Singer. Copyright 2022 by Michael A. Singer. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with New Harbinger Publications, Incorporated, and was produced in the year 2022 by Tantor Media, Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.